Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver three essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation...
and to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills...
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing.
Hello, and you are listening to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
Josh Widdicombe.
There we go.
Very cute, that was. Who was that?
That was a lovely, lovely rendition. So, my wife went to a unicorn-themed first birthday party. Sorry, that sounds like the start of a joke, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then she come back with a horn.
Yeah, lovely bit of business, Rob. Lovely bit of business.
I love to say that's true, but that's never happened. It doesn't exist. Welcome to Jonglers.
Seems all the kids had to dress up as dickheads for the group photo. Not sure why. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my word, Rob.
So it's loads of kids with unicorn cocks in their head.
I'm going to send it to you.
It's not their cock, is it, for the unicorn's head? It's a horn, isn't it?
It's a horn, but look at this.
It looks like penises. Oh, no. It doesn't even look like... I thought it was going to look like erect penises. It looks like a flaccid granddad dick.
It really does. It's really inappropriate.
On a poor child's head. Yeah, that... We will post it, though.
Look at those children.
Oh, those little granddad knobs on their head. little granddad dickheads. Oh, that'd be fun to post.
Also attached is Ruby, age 3, from Cambridge, doing your names to the intro. And the person who sent that is called Spike Jackson.
Oh, Spike Jackson. I bet he was a quarterback at high school.
So thank you to Spike Jackson for both the sound file and the superb penis content.
100 quid. His name's actually Simon. He nicknamed himself Spike.
How are you, Rob?
Good. Yeah, not too bad. We should say we pre-recorded this week's episodes because this week Rose is having a planned C-section. So Tuesday we'll be back with baby news. But at the moment we haven't had that.
Before
we had to record before, so you had a bit of time with Rose and stuff. You don't really want to be podcasting on the morning of the C-section, do you?
It would be awkward. It would be
live from the operating. Is it a delivery room or is it an operating theatre?
It's an operating theatre.
Yeah.
It's weird. I know this from the first time when we had an emergency one, that they go round and they all have to say what they do.
Oh.
So before the C-section, they're like, I'm Steve, and my job is to... It's a bit like the start of like a Take Me Out or something. But like...
single surgeon, reveal yourself.
Let the knife see the skin. Yeah, it's a weird old one. It's a weird old world, Rob.
Well, good luck with it, Josh. How have you been, though, apart from C-section? How's the three-year-old excited about the news?
I would say she has definitely got into the idea. She's really into the idea, but she seems a lot happier than she did a couple of weeks ago,
Rob. Oh,
that's
good.
But I am nervy about it. That's the thing I'm most nervy about.
Yes, but you can't worry about that. Just concentrate on the C-section and then that'll sort itself out. Do you just make her feel a bit special? Because I'm sure Rose's mum will be around to take her out and do things with her. She'll quite enjoy that, I think, at the start and be quite excited to be a part of it.
I'll be honest with you, Rob.
Yeah, be honest.
I'm going to say it.
Go on.
If it's all healthy, it's all great.
Exactly.
But my friends who've got a 2-month-old, their second baby, they've implied that it's a piece of piss to me, Rob.
Wow. Okay.
Their first child really didn't sleep. Still doesn't really. So the fact they've got this baby that just sleeps all the time, I don't think they can quite believe it.
Yeah, I think, and also as well, I think, yeah, if you've got one that sleeps, you're right. But I do think it's easier the second time as when they're babies. Honestly, you're not as nervous, not as worried. It just gets tiring when they get older and they're running. You've got two kids to chase up.
Yeah, do you reckon there is a bit of a honeymoon period?
Definitely, I think so, especially when they're first born. And because a lot of the time, they may be getting up in the middle of the night to feed them, but you are quite used to waking up in the middle of the night now. It's not like unheard of to get 5 hours sleep and be woken up. So you're like, oh, okay, I'll get up and feed that baby. And then the baby sleeps during the day and things like that. So it's not too bad. And also she's in preschool, isn't she, and stuff. It's not the big summer holidays yet. So
no.
You've got a bit of time in the day, just you and the baby and that.
Yeah.
You'll be fine, Josh.
I'll be fine.
It'll be good.
I'll be honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
I spoke to my publisher and they said, are you all right just to do a read through of all the changes next week? And I was like, I've got quite a lot on.
Because I don't know about you, when I had our second baby, I thought, you know what would make this easier? To read through an entire book?
To read a book really intently.
Surely someone else can do that instead of you.
You think, you know, it's 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
The baby's crying. I should just give a look over to that chapter to see whether I libel anyone. I mean, that kind of thing.
Surely they could sort that out. Who's your publisher? Derek Trotter?
Oh, they do, Rob. They do. I've just got trust issues, haven't I?
You've got to learn to delegate. That's what Richard Branson said. You've got to learn to get, look, just trust other people to do it.
Well, they come back. They go, we're just going to put the book out. We've made the changes. And I go, I'm sorry, but can we delay the C-section? Because I do need to read it again. Thank you very much.
I wouldn't read it through. I just trust them to change the spelling errors. They're not going to publish a book with spelling mistakes, are they?
What if there's no typos, Rob, but I look like a twat?
Well, I'd say sometimes we are twats.
Deep.
Why are you hiding it? If you wrote it down, you meant it. That's my philosophy. Do you know what I mean? You can go back through it and take it out because, you know, you feel guilty, but you meant it. That's the main thing. Whether anyone reads it or not, you know what you meant.
Yeah.
But don't worry. It'll be fine. It'll be fine, Josh. We've got... do you want a quick email before we... introduce our guest.
Do you want to choose? Should I give you some titles?
Yeah, give me some titles.
Okay. School Run Angst.
Oh, yes, please. Yep, I like School Run stuff. I don't even want. Well, what's the
you
other one?
You don't want. Okay.
Give me option.
The other option is terrifying moment of being locked outside of the house with the 2-year-old, the baby locked inside.
Yeah, that one now, actually. I've changed my mind.
That does sound good.
Yeah. Both. We'll have both. Let's have both.
Let's have both.
Let's treat ourselves. It's Friday, isn't it? It's Friday.
Have you got that Friday feeling, Rob? Are you going golfing?
That's why I'm going off the mic, because I'm doing that thing in the video. It's Friday, you know, when the car's going along. It's Friday, then, or Thursday, Friday. What? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have never heard that in my life, and it sounds like you're having a breakdown.
But you must have seen it. The geezer in the car, they drive the car along. He jumps out the car and he dances alongside the car. And it's like, it's Friday, then, Thursday, Friday, what? Josh!
What are you looking at
on your phone? How is that not in your algorithm?
You sound like my wife.
You must know that. It's like a me. It's a
what
viral
am I looking
meme.
At on my phone? Generally.
Sports news.
Sports news. And then texts.
Written pornography you like, don't you?
I like written pornography from the Victorian times.
Your favourite one's Busted Flush, isn't it? That's
my
your favourite.
Friend, Rob, who's a bit... He's sexually odd. Let's say that. When he was a teenager,
yeah.
He couldn't access any pornography in his house.
Okay.
And he had a wank over the definition of vagina in the dictionary.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. Are you serious?
He was so in need of stimulus.
Oh, my God.
And he lacked imagination so much that he just... had a wank over the definition of vagina in the dictionary.
The only way that would have been weirder if he did it on Braille.
I just don't know how you could be turned on by the definition of vagina.
Well, hang on. Read it out. Let's see if I am.
Okay.
Read out the definition of
this
vagina.
This is a terrible thing to have in your Google search history, but I'm going to...
Give me the definition of a vagina, and I'll let you know if it's doing anything.
Okay. The muscular tube...
Oh,
leading from...
to be fair, muscular got me. Carry on. I've I don't think I've encountered muscly ones.
The muscular to
absolutely
you.
Ripped. That is an absolutely ripped fanny, that. Look at it.
Well, I've been working out, Rob.
Don't forget leg day, old faff over there. Look at that. Ripped. Six-pack on that vagina. I'm exhausted. Sorry, muscular tube. Go on.
The muscular tube leading from the external genitals to the cervix of the uterus in women and most female mammals.
No, you lost me at muscular. That it felt like it was going down a route, but I don't think I could have a wank to that. I'm pretty good at them.
Yeah, yeah.
You've
knocked it out in your time, haven't you?
I've worked away from home a lot.
Anyway, let's get back to this email.
Yeah, okay.
My oldest daughter was 2 when our son was born.
Do I know this person, by the way?
What? You sent the email?
The dictionary.
Oh, sorry. yes, you do know that person, yes.
Who is it? Oh, of course he would.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now. Knowing him, that's more of a Josh Widdicombe. I've never had a Krispy Kreme brag, I think. More than for effect.
Shall I tell you another thing that he's done as well? Because we're not naming him.
No.
He was once abroad.
Yeah.
And he couldn't access his pornography.
Yeah.
So he drew his own pornography.
I mean, that is absolutely insane. How did he have the patience? I can't deal with buffering.
Do you want to know what he drew?
Yeah, I want to know.
It was a woman giving a blowjob.
Yep.
Right? But because he didn't want to draw the naked man, it was basically a woman giving a blowjob to a penis and balls that were just floating in the air.
And what a guy he is. I think we need to give him a name and more stories about him, and we'll never reveal what he's called.
We could get him to call in to the show on a different day and we'll put one of those voice things on it. Yeah. My eldest daughter was 2 when our son was born. She was just dropped something. She was very excited.
Floating cock and balls, was it?
He is a very good artist. But
Wanksy. His name's Wanksy.
Oh, glorious, Rob. That is glorious.
Good stuff, isn't it?
Really good stuff. My eldest daughter was 2 when our son was born. She was very excited about it. It's been a real gear change into that sentence.
From C-section to invisible men's dicks.
She was very excited about the new baby, and we did all the what do you think it will be like when she is here chats with her.
Yeah.
First off, she liked him for all about 2 minutes. Shall we read this out on Tuesday? Because we've done 20 minutes. We're only going to do 10. Well, Lucy Pond, we'll stick a pin in Lucy Pond's email.
This is Pond. I'm sorry about this,
Pond. We're sorry, Lucy, but we feel it's more respectful to...
Yes, we can't go from invisible dicks to children. Let's move Pond to Tuesday.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello everyone, it's Alan here. I just wanted to tell you about my brand new podcast coming next week.
Life's a Beach.
This podcast is the escapism we all need right now. I sat down and chatted with some of my famous friends about everything travel, from caravanning in Rio to private jetting to the Maldives. My guests spill the beans on their holiday horrors and dream destinations. And let's face it, we might not have the sun on our faces, but after a listen to this, you'll definitely have a smile. First episode is the very funny Ramesh Ranganathan. And coming out, we've got Robbie Williams, Jessie Ware and her mum Lenny, Michael McIntyre, Rufus Wainwright, Rob Rinder, James Blunt, Justin Lance Black. Oh, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a fantastic ride.
Sam Queck, welcome to the podcast. You are our first Olympic gold medalist.
Oh, I'm honoured. Thank you.
That is exciting, though. That is such a big achievement that it's sort of... Do you get bored of it being brought up, or does it still feel good when you hear it?
No, it still feels good. Like, even when I get up my medal, sometimes it still feels good. Any opportunity, I'm like, oh, here's my medal.
Have you put your medal on your baby?
I actually haven't put it on her. I put it next to her. I took a photo with it because she had like her own little personal portrait photo shoot a few weeks ago. So she actually...
It was next to her.
The gold medals are getting bigger and bigger, but bless Molly, she makes it look even bigger because she's so small.
So what's the setup at home? You've got one child?
Yes, one child who is 8 weeks this week. Oh. So proper fresh.
How are you feeling? Because I think at 8 weeks old, I wouldn't have been able to speak to someone about having it. I'd so in the trenches. But how's it going?
It's going really well. I'm blessed to have Tom, who's brilliant. I mean, I'm not great at the best of times without sleep, but he is really stepping up to do some of the night feeds. So I'm actually feeling okay. The first 2 weeks are really tough. I think you just got to, figure out the baby and what their cues are, what they like, what they don't like, what works, what doesn't work. So I can sit here at 8 weeks and say, listen, it's not easy. I don't think it's easy for anyone, but I can't complain because she is a star and I've got a good support system.
What I like is you still talk slightly like you're discussing a run of sporting fixtures.
I was about to say that, Josh. That was a classic response from an athlete. That it was there was emotionless, broken down into what is our goal, how are we going to attack it, and we're being successful. Let's just crack on. You know, it's a new week next week. Yeah. The boys are happy in the changing room.
We'll print out the next spreadsheet.
Are you very organised then? You sound a very organised and controlled mum.
What do you want to say? You know, we've had poo splats all over the white wardrobes a number of times. You know, puke-filled clothes and whatnot. Just the standard. I think most parents will probably know what I'm going on about. But I didn't expect it to be what it is. I don't know why. I just, every so often I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, that's mine.
Well, is it in a responsibility or an excitement sort of way or both?
Both. Both, because I've always, especially as an athlete, you grow up and you compete, you have to be really selfish. Even to the point in a relationship, I was very much, it was always about me, what I couldn't go to, what dates were I available to, can I drink, can I not drink? And then like that was marriage and then just me and Tom. But now I've got a kid. It's like another level of, oh my God, you have to look after this thing who can't do anything for itself. And even just like, I mean, I'm expressing, so I feel like a cow that needs to be milked, but because she's getting bigger, she's wanting more milk. And I'm like, oh my God, just even stuff like that, trying to provide milk for a child.
Peacock demand. It's like a small brand that's popped off in lockdown on Insta. And you haven't got the supply chain yet.
Well, I said to my husband, I said, I'm just pumping milk. What are we going to do with all this milk? And he said, I can definitely get some away on eBay. Definitely. It was an Olympic gold medalist. We'll make a good
gold medal milk, the fuel of champions.
Very strange piece of sporting memorabilia.
I think it would sell.
So yeah. You say that, but I've been asked for some really weird stuff before. Like from some people wanted my old shoes and socks. I don't know what they wanted them for.
I think I do.
what do you think?
You know, let's not be naive about this. There's some sick fucks knocking about, Sam.
Another request as well. Someone wanted a recording of me farting through a walkie-talkie.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's the best
that is...
one I've had.
The walkie-talkie is perhaps the weirdest bit of that.
So, Josh...
Well, it's not, actually. It's not the weirdest bit of that. So, you're 8 weeks in. Do you feel like, sleep-deprived at all? Or are you...
Yeah. Massive.
You seem like you're pretty with it.
It's because I've had a coffee. Honestly, I mean, I used to be a coffee fiend and then obviously cut it down or didn't really have any during pregnancy. So now, like when I have a whiff of coffee, I am bouncing off the walls.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. It's like when you don't drink for a while and then you're hammered after one pint.
Yeah. I've still got that to come, actually. I've still got my first drink/binge drink to come post-pregnancy.
Yeah. You've not had, have you got anything booked in? Because as a comedian, the first night out of a recent mum is normally pretty hardcore. That is when people really let loose because it's been over a year normally with the pregnancy and then the baby being small. Have you got that night out booked?
I've got my good friend's hen do down in London actually on the 22nd of May. So that's the next, that'll be a big event.
Is it the first time you'd have left your daughter?
Overnight, yeah.
Yeah. How'd you feel?
A little bit nervous, but then I say that, but no me, like as soon as I get a drink in my hand and the sun's shining, I'll be like, woo!
Yeah.
But no, I trust Tom implicitly, so I won't be too nervous. I'll probably miss her, but...
And how's it working for you? Because you don't play hockey anymore, so your schedule isn't as intense as an athlete's now, but now it's a bit more ad hoc media stuff, and me and Josh work in the media and freelance stuff. Sometimes you're working every day at weird hours, or you're not working at all. Have you taken a block of time off? Or are you going straight back in? What's your plan? That's the tricky thing, isn't it, with the childcare and stuff?
Yeah, massively. And I think having a child that small, you can make a schedule, but it's all on her schedule and all on her timings. She'll eat when she wants to eat. You can plan to leave at a certain time and then you just end up being half an hour late for whatever reason. But in terms of work, it's been okay. Because I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough now to be in a position where I can afford to say, actually, I can't do that job, but I can do that job. It's not too bad. So I've worked a few days since, actually a week after she was born, I was filming Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No.
What?
Yeah. How many days?
It was only the day. It was only in Salford. So it was only about like 45 minutes from
home. No, but like how long, how many days after the baby was born was
week,
that?
Exactly a week. Yeah.
A week.
I can't turn down the opportunity to win a good amount of money for a charity. Like
for
that.
Charity? No chance after a week old. I thought you was on it for yourself. I'm joking.
So did you bring her with you?
Yeah, so we went to the studio and Tom came with me and I kind of sat in the dressing room, had my Nando's, gave Molly a feed, and then I went down to the green room to record and Tom was there. We're pushing her in the pram, feeding her.
Tom won't phone a friend, was he? You're like, well, you know quick what? Question, leave it out. She's just gone down, whispering. She's asleep, Sam.
He was, and he got it wrong.
Oh, was it? No.
I think it was because of the whole, like, had baby in one hand and phone in the other and was, like, getting proper stressed.
So, basically, the first person you hung out with away from your baby was Jeremy Clarkson.
I know. I've got a picture sat on a chair with the baby and Jeremy Clarkson, and Jeremy was brilliant. He was a good crack, but he did not crack a smile. It's just, really? It's like, it's the funniest picture. So when it airs, I'm actually going to post that picture on my Instagram.
Oh yeah, defo.
Everyone to share the joy in that picture.
How did you feel though, like, you know, in yourself going on telly? Like, because, you know, look, there's a lot of people like after giving birth a week later would feel very self-conscious about going on telly after a week. Was you nervous? Was you worried or you just didn't care? Like how did you feel?
I was probably, to be honest, still off my head on all the diamorphine and everything else that I had during the thing. But I was okay. I was obviously nervous because it's more the logistics. I get quite wound up, like, where am I going to park the pram? What if she's hot? Yeah. What if she's cold? Have I got this? Have I got that? But it felt like I was packing for a week away. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Normally you just get your handbag, your purse, your phone, bit of lippy, everything you need. And then, but with a baby. Honestly, it's like two bags, pram, milk.
Well, yeah, also as well, like, it's a 45-minute journey. That's quite a lumpy journey, you were saying, like, to get there. And then, because, like, even if you were visiting someone 45 minutes away, that would be a stressful day and you'd be going in their house. But to go there and then sit opposite Jeremy Clarkson with the pressure to win money for charity, that is an intense afternoon.
Mate, it was really intense. But as I say, just... I think I started packing 2 days before I actually had to be there because there's just so much stuff to remember. And it was the first time we'd been out. But I was a little bit sore, but found the best pair of Spanx and Hold Me Ins, you know, and all that. Bit of professional help on the hair and face. And I felt like a new woman. I just couldn't eat or drink too much because the amount of elastic I was wearing around my waist.
Fair enough. Together. Well played. I think, Now, no one will be able to watch that episode of her going, a week ago she gave birth.
No.
Unbelievable. You should just get the prize pot for that. Never mind the questions.
I hope so. It should. I did blad at that point time and time again in case I got any ridiculously easy questions wrong. I was like really conscious as well. I had to change colour top because my boobs kept leaking. so proper boob leakage. And I was like, I had this like ready top on, but I was like, that's not going to be great, is it? If I start sweating on whatever £1,000 question, getting a little bit nervous, or, you know, I hear a baby cry in the background, people aren't going to want to see leaky boobs on national TV.
No. And then going forward with that stuff like that, is Tom working full time? Is Tom, what's the plan with the parenting? Is it going to be 50-50 or is it going to be flexible? Like, how do you see it going with that kind of thing? Because you have to have that conversation, don't you, when the baby's coming?
Yeah, we're really fortunate because he's got his own company. He works a lot from home. So as long as I tell him in advance my diary and what I need to do. So, for example, he's upstairs in bed at the moment because he did the night feed last night. So he was having a nap and I was like, got to go, here you go. So I like pushed a little, you know, next to me bed into the spare room where he's sometimes spends his time.
It's nice and flexible. That's a good way because it's so hard to try and balance that, but that works really well then, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like you say, with our work, it's you never really know where you are, you know, unless it's like a week. I mean, a week in advance is generous on time sometimes in this industry, isn't it, knowing where you're going to be.
yeah And I think like sometimes I don't really appreciate how like much Lou has to sort of compromise to fitting around that, even though I'm not choosing for that to happen. But like you say, if a call comes in and goes, there's this thing next week, you just have to go, Lou, you've got to do that, or Tom, you've got to do that. So at least, you know, it makes a massive, it really helps, doesn't it? Take the stress off.
Yeah, but you said you've got a little one running around the garden at the moment, haven't you?
Yeah, well, okay, you've dogged me in. I said that in confidence. Lou went to pick up the eldest from school, and we were recording this, and there's a three-year-old in my garden, which is mine.
Which is yours, to be clear.
I'll be honest with you. There was about 6 minutes I'd forgot that she was still here, but then I checked and she was on the slide and it was fine. So
is she still running around the slide now, Rob?
No, Lou, she's sort of just laying next to it, not moving. Lou's back. Lou's back. All my kids are fine and safe. They're all good.
So with Tom doing the night feeds and stuff, do you just sleep through fine, or do you feel any guilt about him doing the nights?
No. No, we do take it into he does the majority of nights, but I do some nights as well. But to be honest, I said to Tom, listen, we may as well kind of share and do a bit of both, or I can do more nights, because going back to the whole boob situation, I have to get up every like 3 or 4 hours to express. Yeah. So I'm up and about anyway. But she actually, I mean, I say this touching wood, last night she slept from, she had a big bottle at about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and she slept all the way through till 7.
Oh my God. My word. I mean, this compared to the Tom Parry episode, who also had a child of like 8 weeks old, is absolutely miles apart.
A dream. She's an absolute dream.
Well, I think there's a combo where it might be she's quite a dream and she's a good sleeper, but also it does feel like your life's a lot more structured than Tom Parry's.
Either that, just not waking up, listening her and a cry.
Yeah, just letting her scream. Oh, that's good though, because it does, that little extra sleep makes a massive difference, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you find, but you feel like you're a together person. Surely there's like a mental strength you get from being a kind of top sports star. What a weird phrase I just used. Sports star.
Sam Quick, she's a sports star. Yeah, you sports are. You're star. Sounding really, you're getting old. I think it's just you getting old.
It's a really weird terminology.
I just had visions of your voice when you're 80, and it is going to be so mental. You sound 70 now. Imagine Josh Rinnegan's voice when he's 80. Are you on them sports stars?
I found like my mental strength was really tested in those first 2 months. But you feel like you've walked it, Sam.
No, listen, it sounds great, but the first 2 weeks I was an emotional wreck. Like I was crying at the most ridiculous things. I remember walking down the stairs with her, and I just burst into tears, walked into the kitchen and sat there like sobbing, but like not even crying, like uncontrollable sobbing, because I thought, oh my God, what if I drop her down the stairs?
Yeah.
Like I hadn't dropped her down the stairs. Like nothing was wrong, but like all these thoughts, and I just burst into tears, and Tom walked in and was like, oh my, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I just thought, what if I drop her down the stairs? Like just... so irrational.
Which is, your hormones go mad, don't they, after you give birth? I think when we did NCT, they spoke about it, and just like your body's just flooded with hormones, and it's sort of good or bad and energy and all sorts. It sends you a bit, you know, off the Richter for a few weeks.
Absolutely. Or Pete Doolally, whatever you can say these days.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just a heads up for Tom. That doesn't sort of completely ebb away. That will happen when they're at 4 and they're having hormonal arguments with the kids.
No, it's mad though, because you know that I would like start an argument, but then know in the back of my head, Sam, you're just being ridiculous here. But then me being stubborn, I go through with the argument and still try to argue, because I just don't, my little voice, I want to prove my little voice in my head wrong. So Tom is on to a no winner sometimes, especially post.
What have you argued with him about then in the last couple of weeks? Like that you know you were in like the sort of the wrong, but you fancied her out?
Just loads. Like part of me is just like I had to learn to just let him get on with it. So we had this big argument about microwaving breast milk.
Sorry.
So from your, would you microwave milk, Rob, Josh?
Boil water. I would do boiling water into a bowl and then put the milk bottle in it rather than microwave it. But I don't know why. Yeah. That just seems like a more organic way of doing it. Well, would you microwave it?
No, so I'd do the same as you, but after the argument, Tom now does it in boiled water, because I think...
But before he was microwaving it. What is wrong with microwaving it, though? It does seem more efficient.
It is. Everyone I know I mean, you're not. It's not recommended to microwave it because you get hot spots in it.
Okay.
But everyone I know and I've spoken to have been like, yeah, I just microwave it. When you've got a crying baby, put it in for like 20 seconds and it's...
Right.
You don't get it piping hot.
I forgot about heating up the milk. Like, I'm so far away from... Well...
You better fucking remember, mate. You've got a kid coming in a week.
But like... Two and a half weeks and I'm back at it with the old microwave. I haven't even got a microwave.
You can just put it in the sun. Should be done my dorm. That's how we do it now in our week. But I tell you what's good though, if you do go onto bottle or like formula, because we didn't do breast for whatever reason, breast milk for too long, that Tommy Tippy's are really good because it makes the formula milk really well at the right temperature. But yeah, it does. Because I do that sometimes when you're cooking a curry, there's a bit of chicken that is like hotter than the sun than an actual bit of ice next to it. So it must do the same with milk. Just sort of get hot spots. But so we're learning here, Josh.
We are. I'll be honest with you. It just, that has really brought home to me how disconnected I am from the experience of having a baby. You know, when you have a baby and you ask people who've got a two-year-old, you're like, did you go through this phase? And they're like, oh, I don't really remember. And you're like, what is wrong with you? But that's who I am.
Maybe it's like a human reaction to, because it was like so terrible, like childbirth, you just forget about it and you think, you know, let's have another one. So like the terrible twos, maybe people forget.
Yeah, mate. I mean, so what was the argument about just that you shouldn't do it in a microwave? And he said it doesn't matter. And you argued, but and then he eventually gave in.
Yeah, but then it's just like irrational stuff when you're tired as well. Like who's taking out the nappy bin next?
Yeah. Do you pick fights for reaction, Sam?
No, I pick fights because I probably get a little bit moody because I'm either tired or hungry.
So it's sort of a way to sort of, you feel like I want to vent, but I need a reason.
Yeah, but I'm also, I'll hold my hands up and say I am at times a little bit of a control freak.
Okay.
And I think that is just being part and part of like an athlete, because you're in control of your body, your schedule and bits and bobs like that. So sometimes I'm terrible at not communicating, but I'll automatically think that Tom knows what I'm thinking. So if in my head I'm like, right, I've packed that, I've packed this, I've packed that, we'll leave at 10. And I've not said that to Tom. My head sometimes presumes that he knows that we're leaving at 10. And then we go to leave. And I'm like, why aren't you ready? And he was like, well, what do you mean? And I said, we're leaving at 10. And he was like, well, you didn't tell me. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think me and Tom might have a lot in common, because Lou likes to do that as well, the old not tell me what's happening and then tell me off. It's sort of a, yeah. I think, though, it's hard, though, like when they're that small as well. And I think when you, like you say, your job is everything is like micromanaged and controlled, and then you sort of totally lose control, like with your body and well and stuff like that, where I imagine you want to sort of get back to fitness and things like that, but your body just won't let you yet. It must be hard to sort of, when your body's been your tool for so long.
Yeah, when your mind's in, just sit in, have a packet of crisps. You've got half an hour while the baby's asleep. Just watch telly, you know, relax. But yeah, I am. To be honest, this in my body has never been in this, it's not a state, but in terms of this type of shape before. Obviously put on weight, stretchy skin, different marks. And I've learned to embrace it, to be honest. At first, I was a bit frustrated and I was like, I want to get back to being fit and getting out running. But having a C-section, that's obviously taking a little bit longer. But
oh my God, so you did, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? After a C, that's a, yeah. After,
bloody hell,
Sam. You just sit in a chair, don't you? Let's be honest.
You need, I mean,
that's mental.
I'm not going to lie as well. I just enjoy. I quite wanted to go and just see what I looked like with a face full of makeup and hair professionally done.
Fair enough. Lockdown here. Just get out of lockdown.
When you were playing hockey and stuff, was there people that went away and had babies and then came back? And how difficult was it for them? Like, is it a tough thing to do? Or do most people wait until their kind of sporting career's over? Because I know like Serena Williams went away and had a baby and came back and stuff.
You know what? I look at the likes of Serena, Jess Ennis. There's been a few of the hockey Kiwi girls who have done that, some of the Aussies. And I remember in my career being like, actually, I think I could do that. I'd probably maybe have like a year and a half out, have a baby, get back training and maybe make it back for an Olympics. But now I've gone through it, I am just like, unbelievable, like how they manage to do that in such a short turnaround because of what your body goes through. Because obviously pregnancy is tough in itself, and then you've got the postpartum, which again is even tougher because physically you have either pushed out this watermelon through the eye of a needle, which I can only assume, or you've had like a C-section, which is basically being cut in half. But I think If I had to, and someone said, you have to do it, Sam, I'd obviously find a way, but I couldn't do it. I mean, I just, at this moment, I just think that is a job and a half. Like, I'm just looking forward to getting back on the road, going for a jog and back to my club hockey.
Yeah.
But full respect to them.
So do you still play hockey as a hobby then?
Yeah, a bit of club hockey.
Are you much better than everyone else though? Or like, is it like you're just, everyone's like trying to two-foot you and tackle you on that, and you're running rings around them, or is it a high level?
I don't know how to answer that without sounding like an absolute job's worth.
Yeah, you're the best one. You've got to be. I mean, how good's this fucking club if the Olympian is like mid-level?
No, it depends. It depends, because the problem is the GB team, obviously, you know, you went down to Vision. They're all based down there full time. So when I was there, you have to play for a club within that area, because you don't want to be traveling up to Manchester where you can't really, can you, to go training. So our club, Bowden, we don't have any GB players or anything like that because it's too far away from the centre.
Oh, I get you. So that down south, there's a sort of a higher level because they need to be near the GB team.
Exactly. So all the clubs, you've got East Grinstead, Surbiton, places like that, Wimbledon, are littered with like international players. So last season, before COVID, Bowden got relegated because you don't stand a chance because they've got like the starting lineup of the GB team, and then they've got GB team B on the other club team.
Yeah.
So
you're like JJ Okocha at Bolton.
JJ Okocha.
What a reference to go for as your first.
I thought you'd appreciate it. I know Sam's a football fan. Sam, do you think you're going to, how do you feel if your daughter was not interested in sport whatsoever? Would it be a relief because you've done that with your youth, or would you be just disappointed?
Without sounding harsh, and again, she can do whatever she wants to do, I'll back her. I would be a little bit gutted if she didn't do sport, just because it's done so much for me in terms of like my mates traveling the world. And I think sport's just good for anyone and everything, both physically and mentally. But I can't wait to just stand on the sideline and watch my daughter play some kind of sport. But I don't think I will be the type of parent who's up and down the sideline, giving it beans, shouting this, shouting that. I'll probably take a step back and just take it all in. And if
I don't think that's true, Sam.
Yeah, you're gonna have.
I think I know you well enough with the stuff we've done, but I think you might be that person.
What is that? The one who's like up and down, shouting at the ref.
The one who's really enthusiastic. Oh, sorry, I've got a child that's broken in. Daddy's gonna be 2 minutes. Okay, I'm just doing some work. I'm talking to Sam Quick and Josh Winnicombe. You go give that to Mummy, and then I'll be out in 5 minutes. Sorry about that, everyone.
You absolutely lie.
Lou's going to have a disciplinary later, actually, because that is totally unacceptable. She knows I'm down here. We'll have a little chat about that at the family meeting.
I'm like, Daddy, why did you lock me outside?
Yeah, just go on the slide on your own again in a garden alone. Come on. No, I just said to him, I think you're very competitive, and you like, even just the way he said, I'll back her. And I don't know if it was because it was your accent, but it sounded like you really would back her. But I think personally for me as well, I'll have to work hard not to get too involved from the sidelines when they're older, just because I can't help it. I'm gobby.
Are you that guy who's stood behind the coach and when the coach walks?
No, I'm not that person.
You walk up to
I'm not that person that's like,
you don't see yourself as a tactician, do you?
No, I'm not. I'm a Sammy Lee. Do you know what I mean? You know, like,
oh yeah.
Not everything's Bolton, Rob.
No, I think.
Tell me, Sam, have you got to go to the Reebok Stadium since you've had a baby or not? Because Rob really wants to know.
Sorry, there's a lot of Bolton stuff. No, I just think I just get into stuff. I'm very enthusiastic, and if my daughter scored, I'd lose my mind with excitement. You know, it's hard not to, isn't it? But I don't think I'll be shouting what to do. I think Lou's a little bit, even a bit more like she's a bit more like, I think protect would be more protective on the sidelines and aggressive than I would be.
What was your experience of playing sport as a child? What were your parents like on the sidelines?
Well, I was going to say, I think maybe I'm saying that because my dad, I know he won't mind saying it because I put it in my book. He was the parent who used to go up the side of the sideline and shout at me, not in an aggressive way, but was constantly shouting at me. And my mum used to follow him like up the pitch and be like, shh, Albert, shh, stop you're shouting too much. And like, I remember looking up throughout the hockey game and my dad would start on one sideline and my mum, and they'd slowly both keep just doing laps of the pitch.
Oh God.
Dad would walk away and my mum would catch him up. My dad would walk away and catch him up. But I played lacrosse once over in Liverpool. And I remember being so exhausted. I just ran. And I collapsed down to the floor. Obviously, still conscious, but my legs were just knackered. And my dad was like, Sam, get up. You're embarrassing yourself. Get up. And my mum was like, Albert, Samantha, are you okay? And I was absolutely fine. But I think that's where I get my kind of like, don't roll over and die. You've still got more in the tank type of attitude.
Yeah.
And I remember as well, my brother used to play in goal for, it was a team called We're All Chinese. And he was
We're all Chinese. As in Wirral or We're All Chinese?
Wirral to the plate.
We're all Chinese.
Actually, that's a good point. It could have been the other one.
What a team name that is.
We're All Chinese.
We're All Chinese. Right, okay. We're All Chinese. Yeah. What's your team name? We're All Chinese. That's all I've got. Sorry, we're all Chinese. Okay.
I prefer that one, actually. God, you cracked me up.
So your brother played for We're All Chinese?
Yeah.
And were they all Chinese?
They all were, apart from one, but obviously we're half, so we still count. But anyone was welcome, okay. Even though it was called.
So you were called Chinese. We're All Chinese, and you essentially, the team were nearly all Chinese as well.
Yeah. So,
and that's the first time anyone's mentioned that.
We're all Chinese. The strap line should have been, we're all Chinese.
Apart from
we're all
one.
Chinese, we're all Chinese.
Who was the one?
I think it was like the centre mid guy, the tall one.
Only you could have done
the goalie. Surely the goalie.
No, my brother was the goalie, but our mic's picked up. But anyway, he was playing in goal, and my dad was literally stood next to the goalpost and just giving it every time the ball. Michael, run out! Michael, dive left! And in the end, me and my brother, only my twin brother, it was my older brother who was in goal, me and my twin brother, Sean, used to just go and watch purely just to go and watch my dad.
Really?
And to my older brother, just giving him directions. But yeah, it was good. Good quality.
So was your dad into hockey? Because your whole family's playing. Like, how did you all get into hockey?
I got into hockey through school. And I was playing football at the time. So I was more football. I was always football. Played for like Tranmere Girls, played in the boys teams when I was younger. But I had to choose between hockey and football when I was 17. And I chose hockey. So yeah. Ah.
Would you take your daughter being an Olympic gold medalist in hockey, but she's an Everton fan?
Oh my, that's not going to happen though. She's already got a Liverpool kit. I mean, you say that my sister's an Evertonian.
That wasn't the question.
Evertonian. So it wouldn't be too dissimilar to how some of the things are at the moment. But yeah, I would.
You'd take the gold.
I'd let her have a gold medal. Yeah.
And you'd take the gold.
You've got to have some success, haven't you? I mean, if you're an Everton fan.
At least she can enjoy her personal success.
Yeah.
And so how's it been having the baby in lockdown though? Was Tom allowed to be there at the birth or the scans? What were the rules? Because 2 months ago, it's got better now. This is April we're recording this, but you know, at the start of the year, it was pretty bleak, wasn't it, in hospitals and stuff like that. So how was that? Was that stressful?
Yeah, the first 12-week scan, he wasn't allowed in. So I booked a private scan 5 days before. So we could both be there together at the same time, you know, to like see her heartbeat and whatnot. And obviously I had a miscarriage in the January.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
I would just think, God forbid, touch wood, if it was bad news, I can't imagine some people going in and experiencing that on their own.
Yeah.
So I just feel for so many people who had to go through it on their own if it was that type of news. But yeah, in the hospital, I had to go on my own for the 12-week scan. And then by 20 weeks, he was allowed to come in if he had a negative COVID test within 24 hours.
Oh, okay, cool. So there was a way for him to come in and stuff. But
yeah,
that's all that. You just don't need it. And then especially with like when you've got the baby, you want everyone to come around and see it and say hello and stuff. And it's horrible, isn't it? Having to, you know, not be able to see all your friends and family.
Yeah, it was rubbish. And especially at the hospital. So Tom was allowed in, but once you're in, that's it. You're not allowed to go back out. And then you just feel harsh on like your parents or your brothers and sisters, you know, who aren't able to see them. But
Albert's out there screaming from the street, going, come on, you've got another push in you. Yeah. Keep going. Come on. We've got the full We're All Chinese squad shouting. Come on, Sam.
Cool, that's a cesarean. That is not.
With the centre mid guy, the only one who can see through the window.
He's doing all right, guys. She's doing fine. She's fine up there.
Are they still going, We're All Chinese?
I'll move on from we're all Chinese.
I'm asking the next question while I Google we're all Chinese.
I'm setting one back up.
I was going to ask you this, though, right? Because I found it quite stressful when loads of people come to the house.
Sorry, Rob. I'm going to have to interrupt to say the first thing when you Google the words, we're all Chinese hockey, is Sam Quek's Wikipedia page.
Is it actually?
Is it? She's not lying. It's
diversity.
True.
I like it.
No, I was going to say, I found it quite stressful when we had loads of people coming and going, seeing the baby and stuff, because, you know, you get into a schedule, you're all chilled, and then people come, you can make tea and stuff like that. Do you feel like you missed out, or was it actually quite nice to have a bit of calm in the house? Obviously, you had your support bubbles, I imagine, and stuff. Like, or did you really miss it?
To be honest, the first week, I think it was probably a blessing in disguise, because I didn't get out of my housecoat. Didn't do my hair. You don't really brush your teeth. And
housecoat's dressing gown, isn't it, for Southerners?
Oh, sorry. Yes, housecoat.
Yeah, no, just a bit. I only found out last week that housecoat in Liverpool, dressing gown's a housecoat.
Yeah. So what
did you know
say?
That, Josh?
No, yeah. I didn't know that. No.
It's very poncy, isn't it, dressing gown.
What did I say? Housecoat.
Housecoat. Yeah, but the housecoat sounds insane, doesn't it?
Housecoat.
But
so you call it a housecoat?
Yeah. And also, do you call lunch dinner or dinner? Dinner, lunch, dinner. Yeah, so we call...
Well, I don't know which one's dinner. I call the middle...
He's still on supper.
Oh.
No, I'm not still on supper. Yeah. How dare you? You dare? Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Dinner, yeah. Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah, but why are dinner ladies called dinner ladies when it's at lunch?
So you have breakfast, dinner, tea?
Yeah.
I mean, I get your point, actually. When do you wear a dinner jacket and where?
To an evening do. Which,
yeah. And then what do you eat? What do you eat on your lunch break? You're having dinner or you're having lunch on lunch break?
Good point. To be fair, I do flip in between.
But let's not get bogged down in a north-south divide.
No.
The first week was a blessing. No one came around. That's where we're at, weren't we? Before we got bogged down in housecoats.
Yeah, blessing in disguise. Purely because, like you say, you just, the days blur into the nights and you're trying to establish reading and doing whatever. And then it's kind of like, if I had visitors, I would have felt like obliged to put my eyebrows on, get out of my housecoat, you know, make a cup of tea and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, as I say, it was actually quite nice. And then it was just me and Tom kind of knuckling down, trying to figure everything out. But we did have parents round.
Yeah, because you're allowed, if you've got a child under one, you're allowed to be part of a support bubble, aren't you? That's really good,
and
I think.
Tom's mum was in our bubble anyway, because she lives on her own. So actually, it worked out all right. So my mum and dad were the support bubble, but Tom's mum was already in our bubble.
I think that, the worst is when you have people that come round for too long in the first few weeks of the baby, because it's fine when they're there, but the moment they go and you've missed out on your chance to have a nap or you've missed out on your chance to kind of relax, and then you head into the night tired. I just think
if you've not had a nap, then they've had a nap. Well, the worst is they've been around for an hour, and then you go, trying to get rid of them. I'm just going to go and put that baby down for a nap, and they're still there while you're doing that. And then you come down there having a nap, and they go, another cup of tea. And I'm going like, don't you fucking waste my nap time. I'm either sleeping or watching the telly or having a bath. I don't want to talk to you about shit. The internet's better in your conversation.
That's a good bit of advice. So the advice there, moral of the story, is when you go to put the baby to bed, don't come back down.
Yes, no, I've got another one, right? And it's called fuck coffee cups. Right, fuck coffee cups. And they're tight, not they're, it's a little cup, they're doing IKEA, but they're bigger than like an espresso cup, so it's not weirdly small, but they're the smallest cup or mug you can find before someone gets inquisitive, and you do a cup of tea in there, but quite low level. And they'll drink, and don't boil the kettle fully, so it's a bit cooler, and they will have that tea drunk in about 5 minutes.
Do you know what you could do, Rob? How you could market these?
Yeah.
You know, in the bottom of the cup, you could have the words fuck off written. So when they finish their tea, they get the message straight away.
Should we do some fuck offy cup merch?
Yeah, I think we should.
And this is for new mums and dads that you make it to someone, you want them to leave so you can have a rest. I don't know. Would that be something you'd be interested in buying, Sam? Would that have helped?
100%. And some sort of sign on the door.
On the door. Not welcome.
Yeah, just some sort of thing that you can like slide from left to right, depending like where you're at, where the baby's at, and if you're in the mood.
That's a good idea. Yes, that is a good idea, isn't it? Just like, come back later, not today. Yes, please, I'm going mental. And Tom keeps microwaving milk. I mean, that's quite niche. That'll be more specific, bespoke for you, Sam.
I think so. Although we haven't got a doorbell, which has been quite a nice little treat.
Well, I still remember, like now it doesn't matter how important it was when you ordered a takeaway to put in the instructions, not quietly, we've got a baby sleeping. That's still on my like Deliveroo thing. Did you ever do that, Josh?
Yeah. No, I used to watch the person come and then I'd be stood on the, sorry, that was a very strange phrase.
It's a weird delivery. What you ordered?
My order was that good that the moment they smelt it, the order, oh my God, this has gone disastrously. This, I'd say the last 30 seconds have been 30 seconds of the worst of my career. But so you say they were called We're All Chinese, Sam. anyway, so I would watch the Deliveroo stroke Uber Eats or whatever app so that I could see where they were, so I'd always meet them on the doorstep.
Oh, that's
yeah, but
good
I
plan.
Do that anyway. I did that before having a baby.
Did you?
Just because I was so excited. Waiting for it to arrive.
I have once watched the little image of a motorbike go all around like my local area, thinking, why has he done a left there? What kind of stupid sat-nav has he got?
I watched a guy go very slowly up a one-way road the wrong way on the map. And he was going so slowly. And then he got it, and I just realised he was pushing his bike. And he'd obviously got off his bike, and he was walking the whole way so that he could go against the traffic.
That's commitment. That's commitment to the delivery.
That is commitment to a call. Sam, we've got one last question before we go. It's been brilliant. Thank you so much, especially
you,
how new your baby is.
Is it a nap at the moment, or is the baby awake?
I don't know. I did send her up with a bottle to Tom, so I think she was mid-nap.
She don't want to have stolen your beautiful nap time.
We'll wrap it up with one last question. This question we like to ask all our guests is if there's one thing that their partner does parenting-wise that really annoys you, but you haven't brought it up because it would just start an argument, but it's wrangling, and if they listened back to this, they would go, yeah, that is a fair point. I'll stop doing that. Is there anything that's annoying you at the moment, Sam, that Tom's doing maybe?
How long you got? No, bless him. He's been.
It's not microwave based. It can't be microwave based.
It can't be microwave milk. It can't be that. Is there anything, or is it all at the moment? Is it all a pretty sort of steady ship?
It is really. I'm really lucky to say it is pretty steady ship. There's one thing, which isn't like massively bugging me, but
for someone who said it was a steady ship, you've got into one very quickly, Sam, which I'm very in favour of.
I mean, I'd love a bit of Call of Duty. I got into it during the first lockdown.
Oh, it's
love
great,
it,
isn't it?
Love it.
Yeah.
Especially Resurgent Trios, love a bit of that. Anyway, Tom, when he goes on it with the boys, and obviously because they've got the headsets on, he's next door on the TV, they don't realise how loud they are. And when you're just getting a baby to sleep and they're getting all excited, they're getting in the final circle and there's a guy on the roof. Oh my goodness. The volume level just goes from like normal talk to excited to like full on.
Yeah.
I'm in a club. I need to shout over the loud music type of level. So,
yes,
darling Tom, if you're listening to this.
Honestly, though, I got told off for that, right? So I was playing it once and I left the window open because it was a hot summer's evening. I put my headphones on and I was screaming. Lou ran upstairs and said, what is going on? You are making all the dogs in the street bark. Because you're like, it's on the roof, it's fucking prick, fucker. And it's really emotional. But also, you can't. It's not very good for a sleeping baby to hear, there's someone on the roof, shoot them. Quick, where's your gas mask? Fucking hell. And it is brutal swearing, isn't it, Sam?
It is.
Sam, this has been amazing. Thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
Rob?
Yeah?
We're All Chinese might be the most I've laughed. 2021.
Well, it's when Sam was going, yeah, they mostly were all Chinese. The Wirral. The thing is, because Wirral, I've only ever heard it be called the Wirral.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's never called Wirral. And that, I forgot that Wirral sounds like Wirral. Yeah, it just got a bit too much. And I feel like if Sam wasn't there, that could have been a potential cancellation for us two.
Yes.
But I feel like she led the Chinese. We were just there to enjoy it.
I don't think we should bring it up in other episodes where it's just me and you.
Yeah, I think we should probably leave it alone.
Yes, yes.
That was funny, though. It made me laugh. And what a fucking machine. C-section, then Jeremy Clarkson.
Unbelievable.
What is that?
I didn't want to say this to Sam, but she could have easily got booked on it a couple of months down the line. It's not going anywhere.
Do you know what though? I think that's a sort of like she's so. I've met Sam loads of times. She's so sort of focused and dedicated. And if she's agreed to do something, she's like, "Yeah, I'm doing it," and I'm not going to let that stop me. That sort of it's that classic sports star mentality where you have to, whatever you said you're going to do, you're going to do, and you don't care about the circumstances. And I think that's what makes people, you know, a club hockey player and then an Olympic level hockey player. They have that dedication. You know what I mean? Because I've met a number of sports people that just it's like the stuff they do that dedication. Is insane, and then even after retirement they still have that part of their personality, you know.
Yeah, they are a different breed, sports people, aren't they? Just when you go on League of Their Own and you do anything with a sports person, they're so competitive. Or you have a sports person on a panel show and they actually care if they win.
I know, like, it's meant. I did it once where I fell off a netting on A League of Their Own and Jamie Redknapp went, "Oh, come on, Becky, get on with it. You were, in the morning, it'll get in your head all about this." And I went, "Jamie, I've already forgotten. I couldn't give a fuck about being beaten by Helen Skelton on jump rope. Call me a pussy. I don't care.
What are we thinking about in the morning, Jamie? The joke I did about Joe Hart that didn't go to anything. That's what I'll be thinking about."
Exactly. But they're just built, athletes are built different. You just can't. So for her, I think that's just, I'm okay, I can do this. And it's, you know, I've said I'm going to do it. But yeah, good on her. But yeah, she's brilliant, Sam. I love, she's so confident and so like focused. It's you can see that. And considering, like, you know, and Tom Parry and Sam Quick, I know I've mentioned it in the episode, they couldn't be more different as people, really, could they? Do you know what I mean? Like, they're sort of, and you can sort of see it in the parenting to a point of just like, Sam would be like, "Well, how can we make this more efficient? Why don't we do this and let's do it that?" And Tom would go, "I've got me thermos, I've got me orange, let's bang on the Godfather," like that. But whatever works, works. Do you know what I mean? And Tom Parry couldn't have... I don't think Sam would have enjoyed that schedule. I don't think Tom Parry would enjoy Sam's schedule. So it's... that's what's so interesting about it.
I dispute that. I think Tom would enjoy Sam's schedule.
Oh, we've got to get Tom back on, actually. That's a good one to get back on.
Put him on the list. Rob, I've got to go. I've got to go to bloody nursery and pick up my daughter.
Okay, go and get her, mate, and I'll speak to you on Tuesday.
See you later, guys.
Bye.